Get your Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter 10. And keep it there. We're going to be doing quite a bit of reading this evening from Acts 10 and some from Acts 11 as well. I'm going to go ahead and read the entire text of Acts 10 before we get to our sermon. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And so he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he'll tell you what you must do. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he had become very hungry and wanted to eat. While they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet, bound at the four corners, descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again, the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, Yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. He invited them and lodged them. Next day, Peter went away with him, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I myself am also a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, What reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on a third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay for a few days. There's been many sermons preached about Cornelius, and we're going to talk about him tonight. It's basically a lesson of chapter 10, but also a study about Cornelius as well. But usually sermons about Cornelius take into consideration his goodness, how he was devout, how he prayed always, how he gave alms, how we just read. But it also shows that in spite of all these things, he still was lost. And that's what lessons you usually hear about Cornelius. In this study, though, we want to use a little different approach, and we're going to look at some of the attitudes that was involved that Cornelius manifested and see if we can learn and apply those to our lives as well. But before that, we're going to notice that there were three miracles, including visions, all of which have to do with changing people's attitudes. The first miracle we saw was to change the attitude of Cornelius. Turn back to verse 3. And again, like I said, we're going to read through some of these verses again. But this first miracle was to change the attitude of Cornelius, to get him ready. Verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And so he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And he will tell you what you must do." So this first vision was for an attitude change in Cornelius. He had to realize that even though he was a good man, he was seriously lacking in something. He didn't know what it was yet. He had to hear words by which he could be saved. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. Again, he had to hear words by which he could be saved. Begin at verse 13. It's recounted the story. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And so Cornelius must realize, even though I'm a good person, I'm not saved yet. I'm in a lost condition. A very real problem today is people think they're already saved, and we know that they're not. There won't be an angel that comes to them, as was done for Cornelius, to tell them certain things, though. And we know the gospel is the only means today by which their thinking can be changed. And it's our job to bring that gospel to them. So we see the second miracle. This involved the attitude of Peter. Peter needed an attitude change, which would realize something he didn't know. That was his attitude toward the Gentiles had to be changed. Turn back over to Acts chapter 10, and we'll read that account again. Begin at verse 9. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' And this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven." And as we saw again, Peter thought about this quite often, about what he had just seen, this vision. Notice his words in verse 34, chapter 10. "Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" So again, Peter needed this attitude change in what he believed. He didn't believe as he should. And so God had to show him a little clearer how he should be believing. The third miracle that we see is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Changed the attitude of those Jewish brethren who were with Peter. And later the Jews at Jerusalem. Turn over to verse 36. Beginning. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he had did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so again, we see this attitude change that they had to experience and see. Turn to Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. This shows clearly why God sent this Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, upon Cornelius and his household. Some people question why it was done. Some people believe it's still done today. But this shows that the Gentiles were now granted repentance to life. Acts 11 and verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." So this was to show the Jews that now the Gentiles were accepted by God. So they needed this attitude change. Again, now they could now be accepted into the kingdom, and they could also receive the blessings of the new covenant, which had been withheld at this point. Now, having looked at these things, we're ready to take our lesson and look at Cornelius, and let's look at his attitudes and what he had. The first thing we'll look at is Cornelius' attitude toward the preacher. In this case, it was Peter. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. It's from Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. Obviously, Cornelius goes too far. He shouldn't have done this, but he didn't know any better. And he was rebuked by Peter, as he should have been. But to his defense, Cornelius was trying to show respect for God's messenger. But it also shows, by Peter's response, the importance of Peter was not found in this his person, him being Peter. The importance was his message, the words he was bringing. We always give glory to God. And so, as Peter said, "I'm just a man." It was about his message that he was bringing. But still, we see this attitude that Cornelius had toward this preacher. We're told indeed how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, Romans 10 and verse 15. And so it is today with all gospel preachers. We need to have a good attitude to any true messengers of God's word, as Cornelius showed. Let's also read the message given by Peter at this time. Again, to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. His preaching that he did to Cornelius. Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." Again, his attitude had been changed. He sees that the Gentiles are accepted. "But in every nation, whoever fears and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The second attitude that's a good attitude that Cornelius had was his attitude toward the Word of God. Again, Peter, this preacher, was bringing this Word of God. So what was Cornelius' attitude? Again, he was a good person. He'd already been shown that he was still not in a saved state. So what was his attitude toward this word of God that was going to be brought to him? Verse 33. of chapter 10. Cornelius is talking here. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. He had an attitude to hear all things. Again, he and others wanted to hear what God had commanded. There be no doubt that when Cornelius learned what to do, he did those things immediately. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Cornelius was willing to do all those things. Baptism, as we know, in the name of the Lord, is for the remission of sins, from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Concerning the Word of God, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians real quick for a passage. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. This is how it works. The Word can do marvelous things. It can work within us. The Word of God is going to be what judges us in the last day. We know that from Revelations. We know that all the dead will be judged by the Scriptures according to their works. And we also know, and what people don't realize maybe, is the Bible is going to read the same then as it does now. It's not going to change. Whatever it says now, it's going to say the same thing on the day of judgment. The all-important question for us is, are we following that Word of God that's never changing? So we must have a humble and submissive attitude toward God's holy word, just like Cornelius did, to accept those things and to hear those things. And his last attitude we want to look at was his attitude he had during this entire process that you may not see, that was toward his friends and his relatives. Again, this angel had appeared to him. He had called for Peter to come and talk to him. He knew he was going to be told things that he must do to be saved because he was in a lost condition. Here, Peter was coming. What did he do to prepare for that time? And we see that Cornelius had the proper attitude toward the salvation of his friends and relatives as well. Back over to Acts chapter 10. A few verses here. Verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He had called everybody he knew in the area. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. He had called many together. Cornelius knew there was something important to be heard, not just for him, but for all that he knew. It was in the area. In verse 33, so I was sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Cornelius had this attitude for his friends and relatives to also hear this important word. We can imagine how he told his friends and relatives regarding maybe the angel who appeared to him and talked to him about that and told him that he was supposed to be sending for a man who was going to tell them how to be saved. And they were there to hear those things. He would add, that man is on his way, you know, here now. Come and hear him. He's got some important things to say. Come and hear him while he talks. We too are also to compel our friends and family and relatives to hear the precious words of life. And that's from Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. The word compel is defined to mean to use strong persuasion. We're to use strong persuasion. And there's no more important work on the face of the earth, of course, as we know, to save our own souls, but also the souls of others. And I'll close with a couple of stories, small stories. These are, I'm sure, not true, but there's a story told of a Christian who once distributed tracts for many years on a street corner. And finally, after a couple of years, seeing no visible results, he decided to give up. And so when he returned to the same spot 2 years later, he saw another individual handing out gospel leaflets just as he had done 2 years prior. So he struck up a conversation with him, and he discovered that that man had become a Christian through a tract that he had given out on the corner about 2 years prior. And this convert added, many times I've come back here to find that worker and thank him but he never returned, and so I decided he must have passed away. And so I've taken his place. And to make a long story short, now there's two Christians there handing out tracts on a street corner. Let us all preach the word in season, out of season, with all long suffering. The attitude of some brethren toward personal work again brings to mind another story that you may have heard before, of two salesmen who went to, in the 1800s, who were sent from this country on separate missions to Africa to view the possibilities that they're going to sell some shoes in Africa. And the first salesman wrote back to the company and he says, "The prospects for selling shoes in this country is absolutely no good because everyone here goes barefooted. They don't wear shoes." But the other salesman wrote back and says, "The prospects for selling shoes here is fantastic because everyone here needs shoes." And that's the difference in attitude. So what's our attitude toward personal health? That's our lesson for this evening. If there's anyone here this evening who needs to obey the gospel through believing and repentance and confession as Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, through baptism, you have opportunity. Or if you've gone back into the world, you can make those changes now as we stand and sing.